many faces I know. So nice to see friends, old friends' faces. I recognize people. I'm bad at names, as many of you know, so I don't remember all the names. And then there are those of you I've never met before, or I may have just seen here and there and don't recognize. So I'm really happy that you've invited me to be here. I'm really happy you are here. So I'd like to welcome myself as well as well as you all here. It's such a treat to share the Dharma together. And I so enjoy doing it because it's like, helps me. It just inspires me to be able to share it and to be able to talk about it and have it be present so much in my mind when talking about it. So it's a great pleasure to be able to do this. So thank you for inviting me. As Willow was just saying, I'm curious, and I'll ask the same thing tomorrow. First of all, who's going to stay here for the weekend? Who's doing the weekend retreat? A lot of you here. Oh, great. Okay. And I'm sure there are others, too, that will be joining us tomorrow. Good. Okay, so now who here is really fairly new to this whole idea of meditation, the Buddha's teaching, mindfulness meditation? New? Oh, welcome. I'm particularly happy you're here. Okay. Who's what did you call them? Veterans, did you call them? Mm-hmm. Who's old hand, has been around a long time? Mostly those are the ones, I probably know you, but still, who's been familiar with all of this stuff? Yes. Okay. There's always like a sense of this, you know, it's peculiar when I talk, you know, and we're not having a conversation, I'm just talking to have a bit of an idea. So, it's an interesting exercise to decide what to talk about, what aspect to talk about. And I can't do it very far ahead because I really want to do it at the time and see what I feel like talking about. And so there's a thing that I'm considering a little bit at the moment, which I want to talk about, aspect of the teachings and the practice, which is often misunderstood, and that's why I feel like talking about it. And it's the whole, the word is, the Pali word is nekkhamma, and the English translation, one of the many English translations, is renunciation. This is not the most popular topic, because it's actually not a well-understood concept. And so I want to talk about what that actually means and why it's sort of the heart of what we're doing. And how to make it accessible to us, comfortable to us, and see why we do this and so on. Beyond a paper. I used to think it was very rude to bring a laptop to talk. Mm-hmm. And fairly recently my printer died, so I've got a new printer and I haven't yet figured out how to, it's so technologically complicated these days, I can't just turn it on, I have to sync it up with my new computer, which doesn't have a disk drive, and so I haven't made it work, so I don't have paper, which I actually think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use this laptop, if you'll be forgiving of me having one. But I don't, as you know, those of you who know me, I don't read notes a lot, so I won't be referring to this a lot. Okay. So, this is a topic which I didn't like myself, and ignored for a long time, probably, because the whole idea for me of renunciation is no fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know, not actually being happy and not doing the things you love and not enjoying this and that. And it's, you know, sort of punishing. And I have this deep belief, I suppose, understanding now after teaching for a while that so many of us in the West already have enough shame and enough, you know, not loving ourselves and not appreciating ourselves because of our social disease, where to go at the beginning of this. I'm concerned for those of you who've heard me talk before, I say the same things year after year because I believe these things. But what I think is so in the Western societies is that since the Industrial Revolution, when extended families and many, many loving hands shared raising children ended because the Industrial Revolution moved into their row housing and their factory lives. Suddenly the nuclear family was born for the first time, and it's not enough. There aren't enough people in a really good nuclear family for children, let alone an average or not so well functioning nuclear family. And so there's a deep sense, it seems to me, almost across the board in Western societies, of that not quite being lovable enough feeling, whatever you want to call that, unworthiness, and we act it out in so many ways. Well, if you add this idea of not enjoying things to this feeling of not being good enough, it's way too depressing. And so, the idea of what is Buddhism, it's so depressing, it's you have to renounce this and that, and it's all about suffering. And, well, that's not what it means at all. And because of the negative connotations in our history and our also Judeo-Christian backgrounds of, austerity and, we all know what our history has been, then renunciation is a not proper concept at all. Hair shirts, no chocolate, Lent, all of that. So it doesn't mean this at all. This is another word for renunciation or renouncing. I also prefer verbs to nouns because I prefer the experience of living and then the concepts of living. I don't just believe that idea. In fact, in our meditation journey, it's the conceptual which hangs us up, and it's the direct experience which frees us. And so I try and change many of a noun and turn it into a verb as best I can. So to renounce, renouncing. But another word which is a little closer to how we experience what this is about is relinquishing or letting go. So I want to talk about this arena and what it is we let go as we do that. Are we okay with sound, with me holding this? So here's a quote by a Tibetan monk who many of you will certainly have known the name of, Matthieu Ricard, who's done all that work with the Dalai Lama and the Mind and Life series and been very involved with the brain scanning of the Tibetan monks and all this. This is what he says about renunciation, nekama. Renunciation, at least as Buddhists use the term, is a much misunderstood concept. It's not about giving up what is good and beautiful. How foolish that would be, spoken like a true Frenchman. Rather, it's about disentangling oneself from the unsatisfactory and moving with determination towards what matters most. It's about freedom and meaning, freedom from mental confusion and self-centered afflictions, and meaning through insight and kindness. Isn't that beautiful? And that doesn't at all have that flavor of the hair shirt and, no fun and life at all. It's into the beautiful. And it's the facilitation of what gets in the way of that. The renouncing or the releasing is releasing what causes difficulty or what is the obstructs us from the well-being that we're all seeking, our true nature. True renunciates regard the entire body-mind without any thought of I or mine, and are devoid of longing for what they do not have. So, back to the beginning, here we are with our well-established SOS, I'm in the mnemonics at the moment, SOS, separate sense of self. SSOS, separate sense of self. And it's our survival way of thinking, perceiving, and carrying on. And it is a way of helping us be comfortable, be safe, be among friends, eat, not poison, not have to be anxious with enemies, and so on. It's the radar that we have, the survival radar that we have, that makes sure that the surrounding situations and people and things are going to help me be comfortable, and not cause me stress and anxiety or otherwise kill me. And so we have this faculty, very necessary, brilliant, and highly evolved. But it's only one faculty. Unfortunately, it has come to completely dominate how we proceed. We only know that one faculty, but we have another, much more profound, much more effective strategy that does much more than allow us to survive. It allows us to be happy, to be expanded beyond survival mode, getting what we think will make us comfortable and safe, how to actually connect, how to live a harmonious, spiritually deep, profound, really kind of life, not just survive. And that faculty has been missing. And I don't know about other societies or other histories, I just know this Western society, I'm not well traveled, really. Certainly not to other cultures. But in the society that we're so familiar with, we highly, highly respect and prize the functioning of this survival cognition that we have. And so the more smart we are with that, the better we can plan, the better we can explain, the better we can get the things we want and avoid the pitfalls, the smarter we are apparently, the more successful apparently. But of course we know when you take any member of society who's apparently done well and succeeded, are they deeply happy? Do they have a depth of ease and contentment and joy and kindness that actually is not connected to apparent success? We all know this very well. So, this sense of self, this survival perception, is not our friend comes to more than surviving. And we all go into our spiritual seeking when we realize that that mode of living can only take us so far. It certainly gets us where we need to be, not to say we don't need it. And there are people in the world who can't even manage, whose lives are in terrible distress, or they're in some of these, you know, violent places right now, or, you know, they're living in war zones and stuff where that whole faculty is having to work overtime. But those of us who, fortunately for us, can live in relative peace and harmony and comfort and have homes and, you know, our basic needs met, we know that there's something missing, that there's some depth missing. And so, of course, we look to some other mode than this survival mode of thinking. So,